named the recipient of the Amity Global Academic Excellence Awards for his contributions in the field of academics. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
They didn't know what to do. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. New details about the first of the two crashes involving now grounded Boeing 737 MAX 8 jets. The Lion Air disaster in Indonesia. Fox's Simon Owen monitoring live from London.
Dave, Reuters reporting one of the Indonesian plane's black box flight recorders, the cockpit voice recorder, captured the pilots scouring a handbook for clues as they tried to understand why the plane was lurching downwards. But they ran out of time before it crashed into the Java Sea. Reuters reporting the recording ends with the captain quiet and the first officer saying, "God is great." Meanwhile, a separate report from Bloomberg says a different crew on the same plane had encountered a similar confusion the day before and were helped by an off-duty pilot who happened to be riding in the cockpit. Dave?
Simon, the Transportation Department's Inspector General is going to do an audit of the FAA and its certification of that type of Boeing jet. Joe Biden appears to be ready to run for president. The Wall Street Journal reports the former vice president told several supporters yesterday he intends to join the 2020 Democratic race, but is concerned he won't be able to raise the $6 million the first day like Beto O'Rourke and Bernie Sanders did. President Trump just tweeted about one of his staunch critics who's married to Trump counselor Kellyanne Conway. He wrote, "George Conway is a stone-cold loser, a husband from hell, who's very jealous of his wife's success and angry he didn't give Conway the job he so desperately wanted." Many areas of the Midwest remain underwater.
Heartbreaking to leave your home and everything you've got because you don't know if you'll go back to it or not.
She's in Craig, Missouri. There's flooding from Kansas to Wisconsin. Vice President Pence got a look from the air at underwater communities and farms in hard-hit Nebraska and Iowa.
Our message is this. We're with you.
A sheriff's deputy gunned down in Washington State last night when a driver refused to pull over that opened fire, killing him and wounding a police officer. This is Fox News.
All money managers might seem the same, but while some give their clients cookie-cutter portfolios, Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to your goals and needs. Some only call when they have something to sell. Fisher calls regularly, so you stay informed. And while some advisors are happy to earn commissions whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come from other money managers. So if you're in or nearing retirement, talk with us and find out why investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at FisherInvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
Since taking control of the House, Democrats have been ramping up their investigations into President Trump, everything from Russia to his tax returns, but the head of one committee is accusing the White House of stonewalling.
Elijah Cummings, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, says the White House is, quote, engaged in an unprecedented level of stonewalling, delay, and obstruction. In a Washington Post op-ed, Cummings says the White House has not turned over a single document to his committee or made a single official available for testimony. Some of the issues the committee is probing include White House security clearances and the president's alleged hush money payments. White House officials say many of the requests infringe on presidential privilege, and the president says Democrats are more concerned with investigations than legislating. In Washington, Sean Langell, Fox News.
President Trump will be going to Ohio later today. He'll visit an Army tank plant in Lima, and he will have a campaign fundraiser in Canton. Weeks after an NFL owner got caught up in a prostitution sting in Florida, there could be a plea deal in the works.
The deal comes from the state's attorney's office in Palm Beach County. It offers to drop prostitution charges in return for concessions such as acknowledgement that Kraft would have been found guilty and submission to testing for sexually transmitted diseases, community service, and a class on prostitution and how it feeds into human trafficking is also part of it. Kraft faces two prostitution counts. He would also have to pay a $5,000 fine for each. The Patriots organization hasn't commented. While the NFL says Kraft violated its personal conduct policy, the league has yet to take action against him. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
March Madness got underway last night. The first two NCAA tournament play-in games. Fairleigh Dickinson beat Prairie View A&M. Belmont topped Temple. There'll be two more games tonight. It's opening day in Major League Baseball with one game in Japan. The Seattle Mariners lead the Oakland A's 9-4. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
It's the 2019 Newhoff Media Kids Fest, presented by Melanie and Al Shelley, State Farm Insurance. Come enjoy airwalk actions, bounce houses, obstacle course, and slide. Plus entertainment from Awesome Squad, Sally the Clown, Steps Dance Studio, and more on the Hickory Point Bank stage. Find tons of interactive fun booths from Sky Zone, Amagi Learning, Decatur Park District, and Children's Museum of Illinois. Plus a ladies' shopping corner. Kids Fest, it's fun for the whole family at the Decatur Civic Center, Saturday, March 23rd from 11 to 4. Brought to you in part by Staley Credit Union.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Showers this morning till about 11 a.m. Highs around 51 degrees. Then for tonight, just a slight chance of showers before 4 a.m. Cloudy and lows around 35. For your Thursday, partly sunny, highs near 50. And Friday, sunshine, highs near 51 degrees. It is 42 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, March 20th edition of Buyers and Company. Senator Andy Menar will be with us, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, plus our countdown to opening day. Company starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
A little dark and rainy out there this morning. It's going to clear up before noon. Is today the first day of spring?
Some argue it's tomorrow. I've heard some people say it's the 21st. I've always thought it was the 20th.
Well, I mean, isn't there an actual... I mean, if we know it's Alien Abduction Day, don't we actually have a first day of spring?
I don't know, because usually equinoxes are like... at weird times, like could be at the midnight, you like between the days. So first day of spring officially is the 20th.
Is today.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then why? Okay, well, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate spring. All right. It's been a busy week for Senator Andy Menar. They've been going around the state with these construction hearings. They had a day here in Decatur. We'll talk about that, education, ag education, the teacher shortage, and all of that. Senator Andy Menar joins us. All right. How many hours you put in a day, just out of curiosity?
We don't get to wine, Brian. So I'll tell you, I got home at 11:15 p.m. last night. I left my house at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. to 11:15 p.m. yesterday.
Right. I just wanted people to appreciate, sometimes, it's easy to knock the career and what you guys do. But there's a lot of work that gets put in when you're in a leadership role and trying to do good things. I just wanted to acknowledge that. It's a long day.
Yeah,
all right.
You.
So you've been heading around the state talking about, I guess just go back to the beginning of this. What was the purpose of going around the state for these construction hearings?
Well, we have incredible needs, as everybody knows, especially when it comes to road and bridge repair. It's been 10 years since we've had a major infrastructure investment, and I would even argue that what was done under Governor Quinn wasn't done quite right. It should have been a little more robust in terms of the need rather than some flashy things that I would argue probably weren't as necessary as other things. So the goal here is to try to catalog and to allow local officials to make the case for what is needed at the local level. So for example, our first panel on Monday was Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, was Kevin Greenfield, and was Ryan McCrady from the EDC, and they did a fantastic job laying out the case as to why infrastructure investment is good for Decatur, Macon County, and why it would make sense for the economy. And I would tell you, Brian, that Decatur-Macon County are so far ahead of other parts of the state because of the work that's been done on the front end between the city, the county, between business and labor to put together a master, kind of a master plan or a strategy for the county. And that was on full display on Monday. That's one reason why I wanted to have a hearing in Decatur was to say, hey, look, we got our act together. And these investments in Decatur are going to help create jobs and retain jobs.
All right. So, and that's important to note for folks out there that, that don't watch the sausage get made, whether they're dealing with you or they're dealing with Congressman Davis, if everybody comes to the table with sort of a unified front saying, here are our priorities, that makes it easier for you guys to secure funding.
Oh, it does, because this is, because then it's not, first of all, let's be honest about this. It's not put through a partisan lens. So you have, you know, you have bipartisan support for it at the local level. You have different units of local government. Yeah, I'll give you this example. The mayor made the point that there are a couple of projects on the, you know, within the master plan for the for Macon County that don't directly impact the city, or I guess better said, are not in the city limits. But she supports them because she supports the plan itself because of what it would bring to the city and the county together. You don't hear that in other parts of the state. You hear local officials kind of jockeying against each other, or they slap on their, you know, Democrat or Republican, you know, stickers, and they lead with that. And that's not happening in Decatur. And that's one reason why we had one of our early hearings in Decatur, is because I wanted to show my colleagues how I think this ought to be done and how it ought to look at the local level. And I would tell you, they were impressed, because we don't see that as state officials in too many communities.
All right. So kudos to our local leadership, both the county board, the city of Decatur, and organizations like the EDC. All right. So your buddy from Chicago that's traveling around with you, has he ever been to any of these communities?
He has. Yeah, he has. He has. He's he's an active participant in Senator Sandoval is an active participant in, for example, the County Farm Bureau's Adopt a Legislator program. He has been to many communities, but I would say this. I don't know. I couldn't tell you which specific ones, but anytime there's a set of hearings like this, it's an eye-opening experience for everyone, because we tend to get, you know, we serve our districts, and when we take, you know, this was an official committee hearing, and when we take that process outside of the Capitol, everyone sees things and hears things that we tend to not see or hear inside the Capitol. And I think that's a healthy thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think we ought to have the entire legislature drive to Lafayette, Indiana, and just look at the difference between the roads as soon as you cross the line into Indiana and the construction projects that are going on there. Yeah. You can't believe it. I mean, I was just over there last week. It's crazy.
Yeah, there. You know, one thing I wanted to do that I couldn't fit in was I wanted to take my colleagues, the ones that were willing, and I think most would be willing, to very specific projects in Decatur. You know, so example, I wanted to physically show them Brush College Road, the intersection, and what is planned there, and how the state has an appropriate role. You know, no one's asking the state to foot the whole bill. The city's done its job. The county's done its job. The federal government on that project has started to do its job, and now it's time for the state to do its appropriate level of support. I wanted to show them, different things, you know, 51 through Decatur, different things that I hear about all the time, that, you know, roads that I drive on all the time. We didn't get around to that. I wish I had time to do that, but having them there, I think, was a big positive.
All right. What do you do about the state roads? I mean, the city takes a lot of heat for roads that they have absolutely no way to control. I mean, they 51, as you mentioned, is a state road.
Yeah, and I would say that this was touched on Monday. And first of all, again, kudos to the group, kudos to the mayor especially, because in that document, they highlight state roads within the city's jurisdiction that have to be a priority but should not be, frankly, an ask of the city. Those things should be in IDOT's priority list, and we're going to get them in there. But, you know, within IDOT District 7, we have some incredible disparity. Macon County, you know, so District 7 is Macon County and then east, all rural counties all the way over to Indiana and down to Effingham. And Macon County has very little money spent, despite the fact that it is the most populous and arguably has the most business activity, especially that that relies heavily on truck traffic and a robust road system. So we have work to do, not just to get state investment statewide, but then I have to go to work and make sure that when District 7 plugs in its priorities, that Macon County gets its fair share due for multiple reasons. And today, Brian, there's some pretty stunning data that shows over the last, I'd say, about 6 years, it's stunning how little money has been spent in Macon County and how much money has been spent in other counties.
Let me ask you this question then. Who makes that decision for District 7?
Yeah, it's a little unclear to me. I haven't been given a straight answer. Folks at IDOT tell me that there's a local component, and the local officials don't necessarily weigh in on roads that are important. I know that's not true. But then of course, there's engineering needs, and, you know, I don't want to step all over that. The engineer should tell us what is most appropriate. But at the same time, I answer to a county that is the largest in the Senate district that I represent and is also the largest in District 7. And those taxpayers that I represent deserve answers. So it's a balancing act. And one thing moving forward, if we spend more money on roads, I'm not going to vote for any revenue to do it unless Macon County and the city of Decatur get what they're asking for. That's just a plain and simple equation to me.
But it would also seem just simple math that if we are the largest population in that district, that we're paying the most in taxes.
Yeah, and truck and also truck fees.
Yeah.
You know, diesel fuel has an extra tax on it. We know. I mean, I could pull the data on that, and I know it's going to show that the most diesel fuel in District 7 is purchased in Macon County. So it's, you know, that's way down in the weeds, but I tried to get that out there in the hearing on Monday, because too oftentimes state decision makers look at this from a statewide perspective, but, you know, we still have those challenges. But when you look at individual regions of IDOT, there's incredible disparity, and I can't find a larger example of that disparity in the state than with Macon County within District 7.
All right, well, we'd like those answers as soon as you have them as far as who's making those decisions for that District 7. All right, let's switch gears to education. Oh, before we do that, the next hearings are coming up. You guys are going to be in Peoria and Chicago and Elgin. How many of these do you have planned total?
We have those planned, and then I would expect we would have at least a couple more, because obviously once legislators see these things in motion, they of course want to have one in their local areas, which I don't blame them at all. I co-chair the committee with Senator Sandoval. That's why Decatur was early on the list. The next one is April 8th in Peoria, and we'll have at least two more, possibly three or four more at the end of the day.
All right, let's move over to education. Yesterday was Agricultural Legislative Day at the Capitol. You had FFA groups from all over Illinois visiting Springfield, including kids from Taylorville who are very impressive. They're going to be heading to Scotland for a big trip. Why is ag education so important to people? Why are we just waking up to this as far as the larger public school district is concerned? We've been doing this in rural districts for years and years and years. Are you happy that there is an emphasis on this now that hasn't been there for a while?
I am. I tell you, I might make some people mad here, but it's actually my favorite day of the session, Ag Ed Day in the Capitol. If you watched the press conference that the Director of Agriculture, John Sullivan, and I did to highlight the work of the students in Taylorville and what they accomplished, I mean, really amazing what they accomplished and where they're going this summer. I mean, just hearing those students talk, it's crystal clear that Ag Ed is more than about just what we traditionally think of as agriculture. I mean, these kids are leaders. They have just perfected skills in public speaking. They have to think on their feet in these competitions. They have to improvise. They have to work as a team. It's truly skills building that translates into careers. But I'll tell you, the other thing that I was just proud to do yesterday was welcome the first group to Ag Day from MacArthur High School. And seeing, I think I asked, there was maybe eight students there, and I think for all of them, Brian, it was their first time in the Capitol building, and they're there to advocate. They're not there to smile and, you know, like, you know, look at the columns and the pillars. They're there to advocate for ag ed and for public education, especially in downstate. I spent some time with those students and just talking to them. It's exciting. They're excited about the program at MacArthur. And kudos to you and everybody else who put all of that effort into get it going. And I saw that I saw that on display yesterday.
Yeah, I think I was told early numbers for fall of this year, that Ag Academy, the Duane Andrews Ag Academy, will be in enrollment of somewhere around 293 kids, which is pretty amazing. Actually, it's up 300. Yeah, that was a couple of days ago. So it's like, you know, that whole field of dreams, if you build it, they will come. I mean, there's some of that to that. But the excitement in and around the kids and their embrace of this last or Monday night, the city council just approved some rezoning for them to have, you know, animals out at Enterprise School where they're building this working farm. You know, I don't know that I thought it would be maybe what it is today, but I'm super proud of it. And
it's amazing.
It is.
Their excitement, they told me about that. You know, we talked about the city council meeting, and just to see the excitement on their face about, you know, they participated in government, right? They held government accountable, not by beating their, you know, not in the sense of beating their hands on the table, but they petitioned their local government. That's not ag ed, but that's leadership. By extension, it's ag ed. And so we talked about that. I talked to the freshmen, and they have goals for the program. So when they get to be seniors, they know what they want to have accomplished. Amazing. It's amazing to see it on their faces.
Yep. And kudos to the kids from Taylorville. They won the Western Roundup in Denver in January. And for that, they're heading to Scotland this summer to study livestock there, which is a pretty amazing thing. And I'll tell you what, Senator, no disrespect to your colleagues, but I would replace half of them with most of these FFA kids I've met because they're just smart kids.
They're impressive.
Yeah, they really are. All right. What else do we need to talk about that I didn't ask today? There's got to be something on your mind.
Well, you know, we have incredible budget challenges, and, you know, we're sifting through that. We take several 2.5 months to sift through that. This week, we'll spend about 9 hours in a committee, multiple committee hearings, starting to sift through the budget. There's pieces that are good, and, of course, there's pieces that are going to be incredible challenges that Governor Pritzker put on the table. But I will say this. There's a level of collegiality and bipartisanship that I'm very hopeful is going to continue. The atmosphere is different in the Capitol, I think, for everyone, and it's much more positive in nature, but also it's much more critical. And I don't mean that in terms of fighting. I mean that in terms of individual members are putting critical eyes on the budget because I think they know they can be impactful this year, and I think that's a plus. Anytime rank and file members put their critical eye on anything, good things come from that. And that's what I'm seeing right now every day in Sprinkle. That's a big plus.
All right, let's move to Washington real quick. I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on any candidate yet. It's way too early, and it's a crowded field. Are you concerned at all, though, at the swing by some members of your party to just completely being out of touch with Central Illinois Democrats? What shapes up in all of this? I mean, first of all, it's going to go on record as being like the apology primary. I mean, like where everybody – I mean, I couldn't believe that Beto O'Rourke had to apologize for praising his wife the other day.
Yeah, I couldn't either. And so, of course I am. I mean, of course I'm concerned about it. Anybody who isn't paying attention, in my opinion. I don't think it's any different than what has happened on the other side of the aisle. Maybe not at the moment, but I would say perhaps several years ago. But I think it's indicative of what or how politics is being covered. By the way, I don't think most voters are there, right? I don't think most voters are on the spectrum of the ends of, you know, the left or the right. I think most voters, when you sit down and talk to them face to face, are not far left or far right. But clearly, the Democratic Party is moving to the left very quickly. And you know, we could talk about evidence of that. But I still believe today, and this comes from conversations I have with constituents that I represent in both the urban parts of Decatur and the rural parts of the 48th district, that most people aren't either of those two things, even though the narrative, the national narrative especially, likes to place voters in one of those two camps.
I agree, but I think that there is this with some of these upstart sort of new office holders, and there's an interesting dynamic. You just go up to Minnesota and look at the two neighboring congressional districts. You know, one, this guy's middle of the road, kind of a blue dog Democrat and his constituents, and the next door he's got a congressman who's making all kinds of news. But between her and AOC, they speak for about 1% of the constituency of the Democratic Party, yet they seem to be driving the whole agenda. And if you don't agree with them, oh, by the way, they're going to turn on you and run people against you.
Yeah, and I don't think inter-party politics has always been there. I think the dynamics this time around is what is driving the narrative. I think it's the individuals. It's probably a little bit to do with their own geography, with their districts. And they certainly are commanding a lot of attention, especially in the national media. But at the end of the day, I believe that most Democrats are not too much unlike most people who self-describe their own politics as Republican. Most people are not on the far right or the far left. There's some shade of in between. And if we're going to get over any of these humps, whether it's in Springfield or Washington, we have to recognize that. And when, you know, extreme things get put out by Democrats, you know, Democrats that don't agree with those things should speak up.
Yeah, you guys got to.
Same with Republicans.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And it is similar to the Tea Party, although there weren't a lot of serious Tea Party presidential candidates. But I would tell you that the definition between democratic socialism and socialism is lost on most people in this country.
Oh, it is. It is. And you know, and that we're hearing the drumbeat of socialism as a political tactic from the Republicans, because the door has been opened by some Democrats. So that's going to be, I think,
Senator,
the predominant
Senator,
narrative in the upcoming election.
Yeah, it's going to be because some of those Democrats are presidential candidates.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, this isn't being drummed up by the Republicans. Elizabeth Warren just spent $100 trillion in a 10-minute city hall yesterday.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we had the governor, the former governor of Colorado, who I thought had, you know, a fairly impressive resume managing a state, you know, which is important, who I think it was last week or the week before, was asked if he was a capitalist, and he struggled to answer the question.
Yeah.
So you know, it's those things like that I think get, frankly, more attention than they deserve, and But that is the politics that we live in today.
Him not being able to answer that question is on him. I think you're running for president of the United States. You don't struggle with the question, are you for capitalism? Not for most people in this country. I think you guys have got to convince Howard Schultz to run as a Democrat.
Well, I there's plenty of choices. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't have a particular favorite at this moment. I like some of the candidates more than others. But I don't think this is unhealthy either. I think there's a lot of Democrats who are looking at this as, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster. I don't think so. I think this is a healthy process, and the process ought to produce the candidate that can survive the tests and the criticism and show that he or she is the best to represent the party as a whole, not one sector of the party, but the party as a whole in November of 2020.
All right, I'm glad you're optimistic about this. I think it's going to be a dumpster fire. We'll see who's right.
Ask me in about 6 months.
Okay, we'll circle back. All right, hey, let us know about that IDOT stuff and when you find out. Senator Andy Menar, we appreciate it. Thank you. Very long day yesterday for him. Puts in a lot of hours, takes his job seriously. Got to be impressed by that. Also is a common sense sort of centrist Democrat it's tough for these guys these days. Just like it was tough for Republicans when the Tea Party people just got to be all.
I think they'll win this out. I mean, I really think it's the middle of the road.
Here's the difference, though. Here's the difference between the Tea Party and what's going on here with the Democrats today. Is the Tea Party was vilified by all of the mainstream media, and all of these people are embraced. The Tea Party had to fight against centrist Republicans, but they had to fight against all of the major media. These socialists, now these aren't Republicans, these are self-described, so, well, we're democratic socialists, okay, whatever. They have the loving embrace of the national media. It's why AOC gets 99% of the coverage with 1% of the constituency.
But the media isn't the voting population.
No, so. But you tell me they don't influence people?
Well, they do.
They run the national narrative every single day. So there's a lot of factors playing into this. I don't think it bodes well for the Democratic Party at all. It may be healthy. We'll see 6 months from now. All right. If you missed Senator Menar, always an interesting guest. Podcast available. Presented by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. You can always find that at Nauticator and Nauticator.com and the Nauticator app. We'll take a break for the news and stories. Back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Now in its 17th year, Macon County CASA is counting on funds raised from its Playhouse raffle that can help advocate for more abused and neglected children who have been removed from their homes and placed into foster care. With 587 current foster children in Macon County, the second most per county in the state of Illinois, CASA has over 268 children they advocate for in the court system. To support the cause, you can purchase raffle tickets at participating location and online at MaconCountyCASA.org. The houses will be displayed in Central Park from March 26th. To May 2nd. Enterprise Elementary School will now be able to keep small farm animals on the property thanks to an amendment to the Decatur City Code. The animals will be the newest addition to the Living Sciences Farm as part of the Duane Andreas Ag Academy. DPS Foundation Director Zach Shields.
We approached the city and said, you know, is it possible that we could have an exemption here as an educational site so that our kids can have these opportunities? And the city was really great. They welcomed our pitch. We're just delighted that it was accepted.
The farm will house small animals such as chickens, goats, and alpaca. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Hundreds of people have attended the first funerals for the 50 people killed in an attack on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Among those buried, Khalid Mustafa and his 15-year-old son, Hamza, who came to New Zealand as refugees, escaping Syria's civil war. Six victims were buried today, with more expected during the week.
Fox's Simon Owen. Another jury finds a link between exposure to the weed killer Roundup and cancer.
Edwin Hardiman of Sonoma County, California, sued, saying he sprayed it on his property for years. His cancer is now in remission. Jurors now decide the second phase of the case, whether the company hid dangers about the product. Monsanto is now owned by Germany's Bayer. It is facing more than 11,000 lawsuits in the U.S., accusing its weed killers of causing cancers.
Fox's Jenny Casola. A chemical plant fire burning in Deer Park, Texas, near Houston since Sunday, has been put out. This is Fox News.
Hello, this is Mike King from Merryman Herbs. We are open daily and serving the Decatur area for over 40 years. We've had the privilege of helping our customers get healthy and learn about the benefits natural products and supplements have to offer. As a local business owner, I know the importance local dollars play in helping your community and family-owned businesses like ours. For every $100 spent, 68 of those dollars go back into our community. This year, Merryman Herbs and New Hope Media encourage you to visit the businesses owned by your friends and neighbors like Merryman Herbs. Shop local, buy local, and enjoy the savings and value when you shop at Merryman. Manners.
The power of the human voice has never been more apparent than today, because you can listen to WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM on your smart speaker, thanks to Hickory Point Bank. Simply say, play WSOY. Two words that will change your life for the better. Play WSOY. Yes, WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM is now on your smart speaker, thanks to Hickory Point Bank. Invested in space-age technology.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
We've got some showers this morning that will taper off around 11 a.m., but it will be windy. We have gusts up to 28 miles per hour, highs around 51 degrees. For tonight, still a 20% chance we could see some showers with lows around 35 degrees for your Thursday. Partly sunny, highs near 49. And Friday, sunshine, highs near 51 degrees. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 41 degrees.
Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, good morning and welcome. It's time for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. He joins us each and every weekday morning. I know Mike Trout is an unbelievable baseball player, and I know all of the numbers. Maybe it's the Los Angeles Angels, maybe because they haven't been in, you know, postseason. It's hard for me to believe this guy is going to be the highest paid athlete in professional sports history.
Well, he might be the best player in baseball history. I mean, that's how good he is. I suppose you could have an argument about who the best player in the game is today. We know Bryce Harper just signed a $330 million deal with the Phillies. So someone thinks he's a special talent. Actually, a lot of people do. Boston Red Sox would make a case for Mookie Betts, who's a tremendous player. But for several years, each Thursday night on Sport Talk, when Tim Kaine and I talk about baseball, I refer to Mike Trout as the best player in the game. But he's more than that. And only time will tell, you know, because when you're suggesting that a current player may be of Mount Rushmore greatness, and I'm talking about top four all time. Longevity gets a vote. You've got to have a long career. But at least the Angels believe what I believe, and they showed it yesterday with a 12-year, $430 million extension for Mike Trout, their center fielder. So much about this guy is amazing. And start with this. He's already played eight major league seasons, and he's just 26 years old. In the modern-day world of baseball, performance is measured by different metric standards. You know, if you're still measuring batting average and RBIs and, for pitchers, wins, you'll pretty much be laughed at by people nowadays when you talk baseball. And I won't get into all the metrics that are used, but one simple one is WAR, and WAR is wins above replacement. This measures a player's value in all facets of the game and says how many more wins he's worth than a replacement player at his same position. Through a player's first eight seasons, Mike Trout has accumulated 64.3 WAR. The only player in the history of the game to have accumulated more is Ted Williams. Mike Trout, more than DiMaggio, Mantle, Gehrig, Ruth, Musial. We talk about being a five-tool player, and those tools are hitting for average, hitting for power, fielding, running, and throwing. And Mike Trout is superb at all of it. And obviously there are risks with a long-term deal, and this one will carry him through his age 38 season in 2030. But if the Angels get seven or eight more Mike Trout-type seasons, the deal will be worth it for them. And this is a franchise that, you're absolutely right, they've not gotten into the postseason often, although in the early 2000s they were in six out of 8 years and won a World Series. But this is a franchise that has drawn 3 million fans a year for 16 consecutive seasons, and they just signed a $3 billion TV deal that will pay them $150 million a year. And they have now reconstituted their minor league system. They have a really good minor league system. So, and the Albert Pujols deal, which I know a lot of people like to talk about, that's off the books in 2021. So you have a chance with Mike Trout to still – cash in and win some things. And if you, I'd just say, if you ever get a chance to go see him, watch him. He's going to be at Wrigley Field, I believe, in early in the season. And I think he'll be up at the White Sox ballpark as well this year, because you might be watching the best player ever. That'll play out over time, but he's on a pace to get in the top couple.
All right, fair enough. On the other side of the break, the NCAA tournament and a little more baseball with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports.
The Decanter Fine Wines and Spirits offers a wide selection of both wine and spirits to suit all tastes. Weekly wine tastings from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Friday and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
The March Wines of the Month are a 2017 Indaba Sauvignon Blanc and a 2017 Indaba Mosaic, both from South Africa.
We offer excellent service and expertise on wine pairings that is unmatched by the competition. Go to thedecanterfinewines.com for more information. The Decanter, excellence and expertise. 215 North Main Street, downtown Decatur.
Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, the tournament.
Well, and let's just start with one other baseball thing first, because the Major League Baseball season, I'm talking about the regular season, is underway as we speak. The Seattle Mariners lead the Oakland A's 9-7 in the eighth inning in a game being played in Japan. You know, all the sports now feel compelled to make some kind of a mark internationally. And so they're playing this. This is a real regular season game. Most of the teams play their openers next Thursday, with the Cardinals opening in Milwaukee, the Cubs opening in an interleague game against the Texas Rangers, and the White Sox opening in Kansas City. So we're getting there, and we're getting there pretty quickly. Okay, the NCAA tournament actually got started last night in Dayton with two games that the NCAA likes to call the first four. I still call those games play-in games, because that's what they are. Two games last night, two more tonight. We'll trim the field from 68 to 64. And then the real 64-team tournament will explode with 16 games tomorrow all over the country. Last night, Farley Dickinson beat Prairie View, and Belmont beat Temple last night. So on your bracket sheet, you can now write Farley Dickinson as Gonzaga's first opponent, and you can write Belmont in as the team that will play Maryland. As you know, I've talked about it in the past, I'm not a big fan of filling out a bracket sheet, although I have done it out of my media obligations. I don't like it because I don't like to be one of those people who feels compelled to root for his bracket. I like to root for exciting games, and if an underdog that I didn't pick starts winning, I'm going to root for that underdog, even if it destroys an entire quadrant of my bracket. I mean, who cares? And who cares, actually, is the people who have a financial stake in their brackets and can keep you from just soaking in the beauty of the whole spectacle. So I have two number one seeds, Duke and North Carolina, a number two seed Tennessee, and a number four seed Florida State in the final four, with Duke beating North Carolina in an all ACC title game. I really don't care if that ends up being true, but as long as the tournament keeps cranking out good games and interesting stories, and what I like about this tournament is it almost always manages to do that, and it starts in earnest tomorrow at 11, whatever it is, in the morning when they get going. It'll go all day long. It'll be great.
All right, Mark, have a great day. Stay dry. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Eric Lee will be at Lock, Stock, and Barrel tomorrow and Friday with the folks at Miller Lite. You can win a 50-inch flat-screen TV from Miller and Lock, Stock, and Barrel as Basketball Christmas is underway. I don't know what time it.
I think we've got on now to cater.
I was looking at the graphic there. Hold on, I'm going to the Joy Miller Lite pitchers and food specials, like half off appetizers from 2 to 4. Can you turn the phone down, please? I'm not sure exactly what time it starts.
Okay.
No, I'm looking at it. I just don't see. Anyway, it's tomorrow and Friday. And I'm pretty sure he's doing a show there. So go on out, watch the game. If you want to watch the game with a crowd, I know a lot of people like to do that because it adds to the ambiance of, you know, rather than sort of sitting by yourself in a room watching the TV, you know, get to do it with others. A lot of cheers, a lot of moans, a lot of groans, a lot of happy. Drink a beer, you know, get it.
Watch a bucket get bracket get busted.
It happens too. All right. Anyway, that's going on. Basketball Christmas. Details at nowdecatur.com. We'll take the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Traveling for business? Stretch the time you have at home by hopping on a fast flight from Decatur Regional Airport to St. Louis, starting at just $29 each way. Or fly to Chicago with fares starting at just $59 each way. Cape Air will have you there in an hour so you can skip the drive and arrive at your meeting refreshed. Or make easy connections through St. Louis Lambert International or Chicago O'Hare to wherever you need to go. Enjoy free parking and hassle-free travel when you fly out of Decatur. Book at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Fare subject to availability. Some restrictions apply. Visit capeair.com for details.
Hi, I'm Tom Brinkotter, and I sell homes for a living. You might say, I sell Decatur for a living. And what a difference a few years has made. Decatur is in a renaissance. Just look at downtown. It's a business community reborn. Restaurants and shops are thriving, and that helps to increase property values in the city as a whole.
But neighborhood revitalization is more than just tearing down homes. It's about building up our community as a whole. This is Reverend Courtney Carson. I'm proud of the work we're doing to make Decatur a better place for all of our people. Partnering with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we're getting the job done. I hope you'll vote for her on April 2nd.
I know I will. Decatur is moving in the right direction. We need to keep the progress going. Join Reverend Carson and I and vote to re-elect Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
We most certainly thank God for Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Decatur family, stay blessed and productive, and let's get out and vote April 2nd for our Mayor Julie Moore Wolf.
This message paid for by Friends of Julie Moore Wolf.
Newhoff Media is searching for a director of digital sales and client services to join our team. The ideal candidate will have a desire to help our business customers succeed using our robust suite of digital marketing platforms. You can be responsible for the vision, implementation, and execution of our customers' digital success. Knowledge of the ever-changing online world is required. A passion to help others succeed is a must. Apply online at newhoffmedia.com.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
Hi, this is Brady Streckler from the Brass Horn.
If you know me, you know that I love to wear men's and a main dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a men's and a main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
You.
Fly me to the moon.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
By the way, your official celebration time will be 4:58 p.m. today. We will welcome in the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere. That's central time. 4:58 p.m. is when spring officially arrives.
I knew there was something weird about the equinox.
Well, there's nothing weird. It's on the 20th.
I know, but then people like consider then 24 hours from the beginning of the equinox as part of it, so then you'd be into the next
day. I'm telling you, the official spring, it arrives at 4:58 p.m. this evening, Wednesday, March 20th. That's the first day of spring. Now, you can say it's not a full day. Tomorrow's the first full day of spring. I mean, you can parse it any way you want. It arrives at 4:58 tonight. I'm going to go out on the patio and celebrate.
You know, in some cultures and religions, you would celebrate naked.
In what way? And where? Why would that be a religion?
In certain religions.
Is that what the Pastafarians do?
No.
Okay.
Wiccan. Get naked.
Okay. You know, that seems to be their answer for everything, which I normally don't disagree with. I just, you know, okay. I'll be happy enough just not to have a parka on, and that will be good enough for me.
I you know, was out and about yesterday with just tank top.
Now, it wasn't that warm yesterday.
No, but I honestly regretted it after about 10 minutes, but I was like, oh, look at me, you know, leaving the gym.
You could say that in January. I mean, I'm ready for it to get here. It's like, I feel like we're almost warm. We're not quite warm, but we're almost warm. I was looking at the full forecast, over the next 10 days. And when I was looking at that, by the way, I can't open my phone when the microphone's in front of me. That's one of the face recognition pitfalls. When you're on the mic,
mm-hmm.
You have a hard time opening your phone.
That mine, I have the same problem. Or my headphones sometimes.
Yeah, true. Okay, we're going to have rain, and it is raining. Maybe it looks like it's starting to clear up a little bit, but till about 10 a.m. And then I look ahead, and it's going to be 50 by about 3 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Then drops back down to 49. But here we are for like 10 days, 45, 49, 51, 57, 47, 45, 54, 63, 62. Now, do you know why I like that? It's consistent. We're not getting in this crazy stuff where it's 60 one day and ice and snow the next, right?
Yeah.
So you feel like you're building your way out of this winter.
Agreed. A good reason to get naked.
By step by step by step by step. That's sort of what you feel like. So I don't feel like it's warm yet. It's warmer. For sure. And at 4:58 tonight, we'll, I guess, be naked. Because spring and the spring equinox will arrive central time, 4:58 p.m. I'm sure there's all kinds of science involved. Could they not have rounded it up to 5 o'clock? I mean, does the 2 minutes really make a difference?
I think it has to do with, like, planetary axis.
I get it, but leave work early then.
And keep in mind, the clock is our creation.
I get it. That's what I'm saying, too. It just doesn't... I think life's a lot easier rounding up.
I don't know. Can't you save all those remainders for something?
It drives scientists crazy, but I just think most people would be better off rounding up.
Okay.
4:58, 5 o'clock. Yeah, same thing. First day of spring. Okay. I was looking at some days ahead that we need to celebrate.
Okay.
Some milestones that are coming up. Do you know what, for instance, March 23rd, there's a couple of things worth getting behind. And one of these things I have no memory of, even though it happened in my lifetime. The first one is National Chip and Dip Day. I think everyone should get behind that.
Do you know how long it's been since I'd have had chip dip?
Yeah,
like
2 years.
The sour cream and onion dip?
Yeah. Long time. The other one is called Near Miss Day. Now, if I say to you, what is Near Miss Day? Mm-hmm. And George Carlin had a hilarious routine on the whole phrase near miss.
Okay.
He thought it was a near hit, not a near miss.
Yeah,
when you
near
miss,
miss.
You miss. If you come close to hitting, then it's a near hit, not a near miss. Do you realize what happened on March 23rd, 1989? Do you have any idea?
Was there an asteroid that came incredibly close?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was an asteroid that missed the Earth by 700,000 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's 6 hours.
Yeah.
And in Earth time, that's like the Taco Bell story of the guy going to get his packets and the car running into the Taco Bell.
Yes.
So where the Earth was 6 hours earlier, this asteroid passed through.
Yeah, that's dangerously close.
But I don't have any memory of this at all. 1989?
I do.
You do?
Not of when it happened, but I remember learning about it later.
If the asteroid and the Earth had impacted, it would have created the largest explosion in recorded history.
Of course, history would have stopped recording at that point.
12 times as powerful as the most powerful nuclear bomb ever exploded.
Yeah, we would have been done.
I don't know that we've been done. It would have been apocalypse.
Yeah.
All right. I have no idea. Yet it's got its own day.
And why we aren't like just bending over and kissing our fannies. Thank goodness that, you know, we're still here.
Why would we be naked for this?
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
All right. Those are a couple things coming up we need to celebrate. There's also Star Wars has its own day.
Of course it is. May 4th.
Why is May the 4th be with you?
Yes. There's two nerd holidays, Pi Day and May 4th.
I'm betting there's more than two.
Oh, there's a ton.
There's a reason why spring arrives at 4:58 p.m. this evening.
Nerds.
Yes, that's exactly
God bless
right.
them.
May 4th, that's coming up. April Fool's Day. Is April Fool's Day still a thing?
You know, it hasn't been for a long time in my life. I remember like trying to do gags on my dad or, you know, but it's
we
not...
just got done with St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Not all that long ago, people would pinch people.
Mm-hmm.
If they were
pinched.
Not wearing green. Hard to imagine just randomly pinching people today.
Right? And what that would ruin your career.
What were we thinking?
What's wrong with pinching? I mean, in the larger scheme of things.
Really? Why don't we just hang up the office mistletoe while we're at it?
What's wrong with that?
Are you being serious?
No.
Have you talked to HR lately? I think some things we just outgrow, right?
Yes.
I think as human beings, there is an evolution to where we do get better. I think some people never see any progress in anything, but I think despite that, we do get better.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can you bring any more sick candidates in the studios? I'm just getting over this.
It's not
and
just...
And all week, it has like just
it's
been...
It's everyone.
I know.
Everyone has it. It's just that crud going around.
So I looked at WGN just out of the St. Patrick's Day thing, and they were taking a look at why it was a prediction. The first answer is on St. Patrick's Day, you're supposed to wear green to remember and honor Ireland. If you're not wearing green, you get pinched as a way to say shame on you. The next reason, it's an American tradition. Of course, it is. Date back to the 1700s. Apparently, leprechauns can't be seen. They're mischievous, so people pinch you to remind you that you're not wearing green. You'll get pinched by a leprechaun. That's sort of the Irish myth, and you know, the leprechauns would pinch you because you couldn't see them coming.
You could see our leprechaun coming.
Yeah, you could. It would be hard for me to believe that this would be acceptable workplace behavior today.
I wonder if it's acceptable in Ireland.
I don't think the Irish are about the least politically correct people I've
saying.
Ever met in
I
my
bet
life.
It is.
I can't imagine. But it wasn't an Irish tradition. It dates back to the 1700s here.
Yeah.
So as usual, this is our take on it.
Of course.
This is our Cinco de Mayo with the Irish. But that did sort of fall out of fashion, didn't it? I mean, did anybody say anything to you on St. Patrick's Day about wearing green?
No.
Or come at you with the lobster claws?
Nope.
Doesn't happen.
I was wearing green, though.
On Sunday?
Mm-hmm. I had my green shoes on.
All right. If you missed the photo gallery, by the way, of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, you can get that on nowtokitter.com. A lot of green being worn. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back coming up the top of the hour. Dan Oakes will be with us. He is running for re-election for the District 61 Board of Education. We also have Julia Livingston from CASA coming in to talk about their new playhouses that will be up for raffle. And a video of that going up this morning in conjunction with her visit with us at Nauticator.com. And I'm thinking about National Chip and Dip Day and how do we combine that with the...
I want dip.
The Equinox at 4:58.
I want dip.
I want spring. We'll be back right after the break. Here is Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Showers likely this morning. Those will taper off around 11 a.m. Highs around 51 degrees. A little gusty. Gust up to 30 miles an hour as well. Then for tonight, 20% chance of showers before 4 a.m. Cloudy and lows around 35. For your Thursday, partly sunny, highs near 50. And Friday, sunshine, highs near 51 degrees. It is 41 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
Stories for you are available each and every day at NowDecatur.com. Brought to you in the month of March by St. Teresa High School. Hear podcasts, check out videos and photo galleries, and stay on top of what's happening in Decatur and Macon County. We go everywhere you are with the free Now Decatur app on iTunes and Google Play. All of this is brought to you in the month of March by St. Teresa High School, a winning tradition. Learn more about St. Teresa High School by clicking their link at NowDecatur.com.
Get ready, Decatur. Corks and Forks, the social event of the spring, returns Thursday, April 19th to the Decatur Conference Center. Enjoy samples of the very best entrees, appetizers, desserts, and more from the area's finest restaurants and caterers, paired with an extensive selection of wines from around the world. Music, games, raffles, a sizable silent auction, and a South American-themed VIP dining event are all on the menu. Get tickets and info at 423-3189 or at DecaturArts.org.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
Hi, this is Brady Streckfish from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear Mezzanine dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a Mezzanine dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Oh, I fell for one of those clickbait things during the break. I always feel so cheap.
It was intellectual or was it not?
It was like famous songs and who they were named after, like women or whatever.
Oh.
So like you find out about like who the real Peggy Sue is. Or Donna by Richie.
Or Roxanna.
Roxanna.
It's called Roxanna?
It's called Roxanne, but thanks for playing.
No, Rosanna.
Oh, that's Rosanna, Rosanna Arquette, yeah. The actress. Yes. She's always a woman. Billy Joel, his first wife. There's some weird ones, like Wide World by Cat Stevens being Patty D'Arbenville, who was an actress, model, groupie. Photograph by Def Leppard. Any idea?
No idea.
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
This is like one of those things that just gives you the inspiration behind, you know, the muse or the woman.
You just keep going, looking deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole.
Maybe I'm amazed. Okay, not a surprise there. Paul McCartney wrote that for Linda McCartney.
Yeah.
Got to take a break for the top of the hour stories and news. We get back here. We'll talk school board and CASA and your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals with Countdown to Opening Day with Heinkel. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Enterprise Elementary School will now be able to keep small farm animals on the property thanks to an amendment to the Decatur City Code. The animals will be the newest addition to the Living Sciences Farm as part of the Duane Andreas Ag Academy. DPS Foundation Director Zach Shields.
We approached the city and said, you know, is it possible that we could have an exemption here as an educational site so that our kids can have these opportunities? And the city was really great. They welcomed our pitch. We're just delighted that it was accepted.